welcome to International Report. Liberals in India fear that a second term for Prime Minister Narendra Modi might prompt a decisive turn against the country's secular traditions. There are legitimate reasons to worry about this, given the direction of Modi and his Hindu nationalist BJP party since taking power in 2014. In the second and last part of this series on Muslims in India, Murali Krishnan looks at the cycle of hate inflamed by extremist Hindu groups.
In Prime Minister Modi's first term, a number of Indian authors returned their literary awards to protest against rising religious intolerance in the country. Now, more and more writers, filmmakers, theatre directors, academics, scientists, and even civil servants have raised their voices, alerting people to the challenges facing the nation. In the past, cultural practitioners have been hounded, intimidated, and censored. Anyone who questions the powers that be is in danger of being harassed or arrested on false and ridiculous charges. Saida Hamid is an educationist and a renowned public figure. She fears the worst.
It's probably one of the most trying moments in our history. What we have been witnessing for the last 3 or 4 years, especially as far as the Muslims are concerned, and the agenda of consistent targeting of the Muslims, that would be exacerbated. It would be done in a very systematic manner. So I feel that we are in for a very difficult time.
Apart from that, several cities with names rooted in India's Islamic Mughal past have been renamed, while some school textbooks have been changed to downplay Muslims' contributions to India. Even art and music has come under focus in an atmosphere of divisiveness and in isolation, where attempts are being made to impose the supremacy of one over the other. Dhruv Sangari, also known as Bilal Chishti, is a vocalist and lyricist, referred to as the Prince of Qawwali, a form of Sufi Islamic devotional music originating from South Asia. Dhruv is contemplating leaving India.
People like me are always labeled as either anti-national or we are told to go to Pakistan. But you know what? I do believe in making plans, and I have made plans that I don't want to stay under a regime of oppression where my music is labeled as sort of Islamic only in nature. Although, of course, Sufism and Sufi music do come from Islamic mysticism, but labeled in a pejorative way as if it's something bad.
The massive support for Modi, many feel, could amplify hate, pushing fear over hope in a way that will affect the country's secular democracy beyond repair. Poet and filmmaker Gauhar Raza is apprehensive. A few years back, he was in the news after he was labeled anti-national by right-wing groups.
I'm very scared, very worried about it. Being an artist, during these 5 years, there has been intense attack on artist community. All of us have been on the radar and targeted.
But how does he feel now on the BJP's comeback?
Coming again would mean that they will implement their agenda with vengeance. And all fascist forces across the world know the value of literature and arts, because that has a deep impact on people's consciousness.
Modi has shown populist leanings, attacking a corrupt elite that his supporters imagine as a small but powerful clique of English-speaking leftist intellectuals. Important institutions have been degraded, and universities and cultural institutions have been staffed with people close to the ruling dispensation. Critics are apprehensive about the BJP's growing presence and influence. They fear that the party's clout and the rise of fringe groups will soon allow it to determine the nation's political discourse and direction, which could spell trouble for the country. Shabnam Hashmi, a civil rights activist, believes hate is spreading. She has led several peace marches in the country.
Long-term implications are that whatever little democratic spaces were left in the country, they are going to vanish now. And there's going to be much larger attacks on human rights activists, on human rights defenders, as well as on all the marginalized sections. And India might translate into a fascist state.
A string of lynchings of Muslims by Hindu mobs over the protection of the cow, a sacred animal for many Hindus, and other hate crimes has sowed fear and despair in the community. Many fear that a victorious, emboldened Modi would seek far-reaching changes to India's constitutional order, partly to increase his own authority and partly to affirm Hinduism as a de facto state religion. Shabnam again.
Space is definitely, it has shrunk last 5 years, is going to shrink further for dissent and any kind of raising voices against the powers. There would be probably many more arrests, not only Dalits and human rights activists, but also a lot of journalists are in prison. They have been arrested from various parts of the country. And many people who have dissented, they are going to be forced out of their jobs from media, from other places.
Modi's ascension has invited global comparisons to other notorious strongmen, many of whom began with the same moderate technocratic platforms that Modi offered in 2014, only to grow more autocratic in power. His 2019 campaign for re-election, by contrast, has been light on development and heavy on ethno-religious dog whistles. In a notably nasty electoral campaign, Modi and his party members have riled up the Hindu base, giving fiery speeches on the dangerous post militarily by Muslim-majority Pakistan. Whichever way you look at it, Modi's return to New Delhi is not going to be good for India's liberal traditions. Murali Krishnan, RFI, New Delhi.